What's good? What's good? I'm back. You're truly one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Commissar's Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today, I'm going to react to a video titled Why Offset Says Dropping Singles is Pointless. But before we do that, it's only right that I give you a word from promopalace.biz.
Music, marketing, and promotion? Then look no further than Promo Palace LLC, your one-stop shop for all music promotion services. Services include Spotify playlist pitching, YouTube video promotion, record pull promotion, blog placements, radio airplay promotion, SoundCloud promotion, and much more. With over 2,000 customers and over 10 years of experience in online promotion, Promo Palace LLC is a company you can trust. For more info, please go to promopalace.biz. See you there.
That's right. You heard a beautiful lady. If you need online marketing promotions for your music, product, brand, or service, please go to promopalace.biz. Also, get 15% off music promo at promopalace.biz. Use coupon code LaborDay2023. Also, you can email me at promopalace1@gmail.com. Prefer to use Gmails as domain emails. They always act funny. At least mine do for some reason. Okay, let's get into it. Why Offset says dropping singles is pointless.
I'm gonna pick your song, especially when you're dropping a project. I just feel like the single game be so capped. Like, everybody calculating how many numbers you do in the first 24 hours.
We are not in the 90s, so why not get the data first and put the money where it needs to be?
DIY.
Okay, DIYers. So, Offset talks about why it is a waste of time for you as an artist to be trying to pick your single nowadays, and why you should leave that power in the hands of your fans.
But like in this game nowadays, man, a fan ain't gonna pick, bro. You gonna waste a lot of money and a lot of your time trying to pick your song, being the creator too.
So that's your process, just to throw it out there. Let's see what Shazamming, what they streaming, we'll go shoot the video for that.
Yeah.
Let me chime in real quick, especially in an era where most of these songs they're putting out aren't hit records anyways, because they all sound the same. None of them stand out. They're just making a bunch of records. That's all they're doing. They're not really making hit records, because that's the thing. Like, making a hit record, it's a process. It is. You just don't make a new song every day and you just make it. You're making hit after hit after hit after hit after hit after hit. When you pump it out so fast, you know, the quality of a lot of these records ain't gonna be that great. And yes, some might stand out more than others, because you might just get that beat, you know, that just really stands out. Because that's the thing too, like, part of a hit record is the production. I've never heard a hit record that didn't have a good beat behind it,
especially when you're dropping a project. Because I just feel like the single game be so cap, like, everybody calculating how many numbers you do in the first 24 hours and cap. So it's like giving people the painted picture and let them choose, because the people gonna pick. Mm-hmm. That's just how it's gonna go.
Somebody gonna have to tell the truth, and I'm gonna tell it.
Interesting message, that especially from someone that made a killing as a solo artist and of course as a part of the Migos with some singles that shifted the culture many different ways, right? Really interesting to hear him say it's a waste of time to be picking your own singles. It almost feels like it's even alluding to the idea of over planning your rollout could be a waste of time.
We are not in the 90s. We have the ability to pivot, make changes, shoot videos. We can do everything we need to do for a single in 24 hours.
Easy.
So why not get the data first and put the money where it needs to be? Yeah. We have access to metrics, streaming.
Let me stop right there. Why not get the data first? That's a great point, because I reacted to the video where Wendy Day said, hey, they worked 5 records at a time. And then they run ads for 2 weeks on those 5 records. And then if two records seem to do better than the other, you know, 3, they put a little bit more into those. And then if one of those takes off, they go and do a second music video, because they only do $500 music videos for each one. $500 for each one. It's $2,500 total for 5 music videos. And you got people out here spending $2,500 for 1 music video. Like, it's a hit record, it's a hit single, because they homeboys, you know, told them it is like every other song they record. And that's the thing. Artists don't necessarily aren't the always the best judges of what a hit record is or what song on their album could be a hit record. I think like Styles P didn't want to do the Locked Up record because the Akon joint, the Akon part of the hook. He didn't feel comfortable doing it. He didn't really want to do it. But when the record dropped, I mean, it probably could be his biggest record ever. Or if not his biggest, it's the second biggest ever behind I Get High. High all the time. So, yeah, the market, it worked for the market. It worked for the fan base because his fans, we still loved it. The food is garbage. The clothes is orange. It was still street grimy hood record. And it had a commercial appeal. It makes me think about how yesterday we was on the phone and I pulled up on YouTube the DJ Premier on the So What's Up, where he explains how he came up with the beat Mass Appeal. And Guru said, hey, I want Mass Appeal to be a record that can get us more radio play than any record we've ever had, but at the same time, still be a record for the streets. And Mass Appeal definitely accomplished that. It accomplished both feats. It accomplished being their most radio played song up to that point, and it pretty much was still a record for the streets. And you could do both.
Numbers, analytics, we can get reception. We know down to what city people played in the most. Why would we possibly gamble if we don't have to?
Right.
I do understand sometimes maybe we invested more money in a certain song on the album. Mm-hmm. Maybe you paid for a producer's work, or you paid for a feature from an artist.
Or a sample to be cleared.
And right. We're like, look,
we got to do something with this one. Yeah.
Even now with those type of things, it's still not up to you. Yeah. You could have called Drake. You could have got a Marvin Gaye sample. I don't know who you killed to do that. Right. And then had Pharrell touch it with some keys.
Right.
It don't mean it's going to be the hit.
We try to do our best impersonation, our best prediction, I should say, of what the audience is going to ultimately want.
Yeah.
We don't know. Prince did a story where he was talking about not wanting to release Purple Rain because he had hesitation towards it, right? And you think about these songs that ultimately take off, even for us as independent artists. There have been times where I'm like, we're leading off with this one because this is the banger.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty low percentage that it actually hit off.
Yeah.
It's always that one that I'm like, we almost kept that off the project entirely because it was.
Let me stop what he said real quick. He said, we leading off with this one because it's the banger. The banger doesn't mean that it's the hit record. It doesn't mean it's the hit record. That's what it doesn't mean. And artists from my generation, we tend to do that. We tend to want to lead off with the banger. And that might have been fine in our era to lead off with the banger, but that ain't necessarily going to work nowadays. And yes, being that all artists don't make it off of radio, yeah, the fans are going to dictate and decide what your best record is for you. Unless it's a situation like Moray Quicksand, where clearly that was his most commercial, mainstream, marketable song. And it definitely became a YouTube hit with all the ads they put behind it. And it got good traction on Spotify as well. And I don't know if they played how much they played it on radio afterwards and whatnot, but when you listen to that record, it was an older record, and it definitely sounds like a record that was ready to go, you know. But that's not very often. That's the thing. That was an already made record that was just sitting there with no money behind it, and somebody heard it and like, yo, this is a winner chicken dinner right here with the Moray Quicksand. And when I heard it for the first time, I agree. I totally agreed with that sentiment. I totally agreed with that sentiment of it was a guaranteed bona fide hit record. But artists ain't making these guaranteed bona fide hit records like that so often. The last one I can remember, it almost feels like Roddy Ricch, The Box or something, you know? Like these guaranteed bona fide hits. Let's keep it moving.
So different.
Man, when I tell you, the last actual project I put out,
yeah,
we sat down and we talked about what's going to be the hit.
Oh, come on, man.
I think I know it all.
Of course, we all do, yeah.
You know, we got this Oh Gosh Leota cyberpunk funk hybrid record.
Shout out to him.
We brought in Christine Aria and Nicholas Gray.
That's a monster.
Best vocalist I know.
Yeah.
And Cam's got this conceptual idea. I call in a cinematographer to shoot the video.
Oh, man.
We do it all. When I tell you, the record that we literally... We were like, this record's not good enough. We cut the hook in half. We trimmed the beat down.
No.
It almost didn't make the album because it went from a 4-minute song to a 2-minute song.
A jingle.
It became a jingle. Guess which one did numbers?
Which one?
The one that almost got cut from the album.
Oh.
Yeah, and to this day, I'm still mind blown. I go to my Spotify numbers and I'm like,
That was the one they picked.
We never even performed the song. We've never given it attention, and it is the one people picked.
I don't know the gentleman's name.
You know, he said something about, we sat down. We actually like, well, let's pick out what's going to be the hit. I don't think that should be ever the approach. I think the approach should be which record's the best. Which record's the best? Because it's not even a guarantee that the best record on the album is going to be a hit. There's no guarantee of that.
Here, if somebody here in the comments knows who it is, please let it be known.
The new music economy is not about dollars and cents. It's about fractions of a cent.
Mm.
The new music economy is not about trying to find a hit. It's about building a catalog. And along the way, you might find a hit.
Sheesh.
It's about every mickle make a muckle. And if you don't understand the concepts of micropayments and how moving forward... It is what is going to pay you as an artist, as a creator, content creator, as a videographer, as a filmmaker. Then it might as well leave the creative industry because things and times have changed and so has the payout economy. It's not about dollars and cents anymore. It's about a fraction of a cent and the volume you can pull in.
Mm.
So for Spotify artists out there, don't watch nobody and them big it. Go and take your time and build your catalog. Because at the end of the day, I can tell you, the artist that you don't know is making a lot more money than the ones you do.
The artist you don't know is making a whole
you
lot
build,
of money
you build than up
the
your
ones
boy.
That you think you do know. Hey, shout out to that game.
You build up the store's inventory.
Right.
That way, when the person decides they need to shop for one pack of Oreos, they walk into your grocery store and they leave out with a cart of things, right?
Fantastic analogy. That really helped. Maybe I'm hungry, but that really...
You know, and that's exactly what it's all about, which is once they show up, if there's only one record to listen to, they don't come back again.
How many times have you seen a new store open up in a mall? It happened around here. Mm-hmm. A new store opened up in a mall and it was like, we're going to have the most exclusive sneakers, rare sneakers that you've ever seen. Then when you walk in and realize it's just... the classic pennies in a glass case surrounded by a bunch of note cards or post-it notes that say the shoes will appear here in a few more weeks. I'm not really motivated to go check back with it because you didn't have what I was looking for when you got my interest and you had my attention. Now, I don't think this is to say that everybody is who you're trying to aim for, but you do want to make sure that somebody who wants to be a diehard of you, they have diehard material to attach to. Because if not, somebody can be diehard about a moment and then lose that because you just simply weren't consistent.
Yeah.
You're so concerned about it being perfect that you're not realizing that your prime audience is not asking for perfection.
Nah, and I'm still not content till I'm dominating every single continent.
I like what he said right there. Your prime fan base, they're not really expecting perfection. And I think that's a great point. I don't know that anybody's expecting perfection out of these artists nowadays, except maybe people from my generation. I don't know that the new consumer fan base is expecting perfection. I don't know that. You know? Because, I mean, they're not getting perfection in the music, and they seem to be happy for the most part because they seem to be still consuming it.
Go stupid, you don't think, then use your common sense. I did your wire and I know that I'm a brother. When they play the new king, all the DOYs go crazy. All the DOYs go crazy.
Recently, Russ shared, I'm actually just going to read the caption. He shared a post on his Instagram and on his Twitter, and he said, "The following images are for inspirational purposes only. This is the money I made this week off the masters of my independent catalog. It fluctuates weekly, obviously, but this is just to give some insight. You do not need to be on the radio or signed to have the biggest album in the world to effing cake. You have to have a lot of good music and own it. You have to have a lot of good music and own it."
Mm-hmm.
"I use two different distros, Vidya and TuneCore. My deal with them is the same. I keep 100% and pay one-time fee annually for unlimited uploads. I just wish artists knew the value of having a catalog instead of feeling like they gotta make all the money they ever dreamed of off of one song. You niggas is playing a lottery."
Yeah.
"With your whole music career, all I need is that one. All I need is that one. If I get the right feature, if I get the right playlisting, if I get the right this, the right that, the right visual, if I get a post, that you niggas is playing the lottery. And you don't want to admit it, but you're putting a coin. You're no different from your grandma going down to Reno, putting that quarter inside the slot machine, hoping to see 777 and end up losing more money than you actually made. But it's enough in this industry, which is why I love making the content we make to keep you strung along. 1 week, balance is off. $152,629.40. That 40 cents just feels disrespectful.
And that's on just one streaming platform.
One streaming platform.
One distribution.
One distribution. Yeah, yeah. One distribution. And this is off of his independent catalog. Next one, $79,637 from TuneCore. I like the fact that he's given this kind of transparency because it gives something tangible. Not obviously for everyone, but it gives you.
That's almost a quarter of a million in a week. Independent. This cat is making about $1 million a month almost in just streams. That's not counting merch. That's not counting shows. What did that guy say earlier? The rappers you don't know are getting paid more than the rappers you do know. Because he's keeping all this. He don't got to... You know, he don't got to give this to no label. Label ain't taking a percentage of this.
An idea of what those numbers really are. Mm-hmm. How many rappers have we grown up on and we just heard about they signed a deal? We don't know the details. I mean, it's none of our business, but we don't know how much money they're actually making off of their music. All right. We're doing is assuming, based upon all the visibility, based upon all the marketing, they must be caking up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But not really thinking about it from a standpoint of business that that costs money to be that visible. And it probably losing money in a lot of these situations.
I've always been a big, big proponent of making sure you are creating a catalog. I'm passionate about universe creation, which that's probably a whole conversation in itself.
What do you mean when you say universe creation?
Universe creation is going to be, why is the Marvel movies some of the highest grossing films ever made?
Mm-hmm.
It's because every single thing that you make within that universe has fans from other pieces of the universe coming to the next thing, right?
Wow, okay.
And,
never heard it explained like that. That's dope.
Yeah, and it's they do it in music also. Right. So when you're a big fan of maybe a Childish Gambino who makes an album called Because the Internet,
mm-hmm.
before he drops that album, he dropped a script. Then each music video is a part of the storyline of the script.
Yeah.
And he does all these little pieces so that when the album comes out, you want the whole body of work, mm-hmm. not just the single, because all of it comes together to create one piece that you can digest, right?
Yeah.
Let me stop real quick. It makes me think of one of my favorite rappers, Joyner Lucas. Joyner Lucas definitely writes out scripts for a lot of the music videos. And, you know, especially when he's by himself, not so much with features, but when he's by himself, he writes out these scripts. And then he goes and writes the song based off the script. Then you go and film it, and it's this whole package deal. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the thing. It really is about a package deal now. It's not just so much about the audio as it is the visuals nowadays. And it's a package deal, you know? That's why I ramped up my little 15-second lip syncs of my personal catalog, you know, after seeing the video about music videos. And where most of the artists are just saving $800 to $1,000 doing music videos and just going in and just doing, you know, different pieces of their song or the whole song on TikTok, whatever, the whole clip that's on TikTok or whatever. They just get in there and just lip sync it, get, you know, good camera phone and go anywhere and do it. You know what I'm saying? And save a lot of money. And then you're not giving them the whole song. and you let them decide which ones they like the best, you know? And definitely because artists are not breaking on radio like they used to. Definitely radio used to dictate a lot of what hits are, or the clubs. A lot of artists are breaking through the internet, man. YouTube, you know, SoundCloud, AudioMac, TikTok. You know, they're using Instagrams and Facebook, all these other platforms that they're able to break on. And club and radio doesn't really dictate what songs are the hits anymore.
Talking about doing the exact same concept with you as the universe.
Right.
Curtis King is the thing. So if I become a fan of Curtis King, I'm a fan of everything he's done. I'm going to go to his YouTube. I'm going to go to his albums. I'm going to go to everything he's ever been a part of. And because I'm a fan of Curtis King, the less things you have available for me, the less things I can engage with.
Now imagine the artist is only putting out music.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Like for me, example, Paul Piggott, my real name, artist name, Paul Masson. Also on Promo Palace LLC. Also am part of Dizzle Brand Premium Luxury Liqueur. I own New Litter Apparel. Paul Piggott Podcast. Live from Fayette Now Podcast, which is every Friday. Check that out. Live from Fayette Now Podcast every Friday with me, Big Kaz, Big Face, Mr. J, and Mr. Jones. Check that out. Then we got another podcast about to come out for Big Face, helping him with his Circle of Kings podcast. 102.6 The Streets, relaunching his radio station. You know, I try to help Black Canvas, my guys at Black Canvas, as much as I can. I attach myself to so many brands. You have so many options. You don't get bored with just one option, you know, especially when I'm promoting these brands. And also, how bigger do I look when, oh, hey, you know, shit. Paul's part of owns Promo Palace. He also owns Paul Bigger Podcast. He owns New Little Apparel. He's also part of Dizzle. He owns part of Live for Fade Now Podcast, which he started. Like, yeah, if people are going to support you, they're going to support all these things. And also, they see all these things. They know you ain't playing around. They know you serious. No, you ain't playing games, and actions speak louder than words. You know, people can say they do this and say they do that, but people want to see you doing this shit. So when people see, hey, Paul's part of Dizzle's, Paul's got the podcast, Paul's got the radio station, the promo company, the apparel. Yeah. And then that same thing with the haters too, though. The haters can go and hate on all that stuff too. The haters go, oh, you know, screw Paul because he's in his podcast. Screw the apparel. Screw this. But they can go hate on all of it.
And that can work. I mean, shout out to Nicholas Gray. He mentioned Currency. That's why Currency is going to always be good, because of the amount of work he puts out there. However, you got to think, because you don't really see content necessarily from, he posts all the time, but you don't really see him as a content creator in addition to it. I think of Action Bronson doing the cooking in addition to it. It's almost like, I don't want to say he has to put all that music out, but it certainly helps when you don't have the content to kind of like make up for the other spaces that you're not really existing in for people.
Yeah.
So I get that. I think it's just a matter of, it's our responsibility.
Like being, you know, a podcaster or doing your TikTok influencer thing or Instagram influencer thing or Facebook influencer thing or whatever, you know, just being a, and everybody can't be an influencer because you got to have influence, but just being a content creator in general. And that's the thing. There's just so much content on the internet. It's so oversaturated. Not creating any content is not going to get you any exposure. You know, I know sometimes people be like, man, you be blowing up my timeline. Well, yeah, because that's the thing. I have a lot of things to create content for. And there's a lot of content that is oversaturating it that I got to break through.
Ability in this generation to figure out as creatives, as independent artists, what is the balance?
Look, if you want to sell your art, make sure you have inventory. That's the bottom line, right?
Bar.
The less inventory you have, you're putting a ceiling on your own potential growth of income.
Man.
That's an issue. Every time I leave the Jake Asai universe, right, and I show up to the Curtis King went as a guest. Mm-hmm. I'm giving people a small sprinkle and advertisement of what's behind me. Mm. People will click on my name and they're going to go, oh, he doesn't have anything but this one album. I'll spin it once and then they leave, right? But if they came to my channel and went, oh, he has this, this, that, that, and that,
yeah,
maybe there's an opportunity there for me to find a new customer to come into my store and shop every mm-hmm. month, you know? And
yeah. I like what he said there, because like when I first started Promo Palace, actually before I even started Promo Palace, I was doing targeted Twitter followers for a lot of old school rappers back in the days. Not saying no names and whatnot, because some people don't like to know that they pay you for, you know, pay people for marketing and advertising. And targeted Twitter followers back in the days was like a follow for follow method, but this software was called TweetBig. When TweetBig would analyze the people that were more likely, that had a higher percentage of following you back based on specific genres and niches and keywords and stuff. And it was amazing software, but it ran into API issues. And that's what I realized. I couldn't be a one-trick pony. So when you come to Promo Palace, you know, even though I try to push people to YouTube and TikTok more than anything, I also offer promotion on other platforms like Instagram and Facebook and Spotify and whatever, you know, any platform that is a platform for music artists and musicians or just advertising promotion in general, I try to be able to provide services for it. I mean, you know, I could do, SEO, search engine optimization, website traffic, you know, Facebook ads, Twitter ads, whatever it may be. You know, so I don't try to be a one-trick pony, because some people just, they want what they want. Even if you be like, yo, focus on YouTube and build your channel from YouTube and then build everything else up off of that, or pay TikTok influencers or whatever. Some people just want what they want and they're not going to listen. And then it becomes a supply and demand kind of thing. I can't put a gun to somebody's head and tell them, hey, focus on YouTube more than Spotify. If they want to focus on Spotify, you know, I'm not going to argue with them, but I'm not going to tell them again and again. You know, I'm going to tell them once or twice, they don't want to listen, that's on them. They can learn the hard way, you know, that you're not breaking artists by just focusing on Spotify. You need YouTube and all these other platforms to leverage them to Spotify. But, you know, artists think they know better than everybody. They think they know it all when they don't know jack shit, you know? So there's that problem you run into.
That's important. That's why the feature is a thing in hip hop.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes we just want to visit that other universe and see if people can take a peek at us and follow us back home.
Which is another reason why I feel like I'm slightly disappointed that the remix doesn't have the same power that it once had, because yeah. The remix was a surefire way to mm-hmm. say, look, not only do I want you to dip into my universe, but here's a successful piece of my universe that I know you could bring a new insight, a new delivery, a new perspective on. Mm. Jump on this. So you don't really see the remix.
I mean, great point, because Bad Boy used to remix every single record. You know, you had the Special Delivery remix, the Bad Boy Shine remix. Every single artist that they came through, they were remixes were heavy. Flavor in the Air remix. And you normally put on like 3 or 4 people in there. Who Shot Your remix? It was just so many remixes back in the days. Like, you'd come out with a very successful, if it was a really, really successful hit single, you'd always remix it. You had I Need a Girl Part 1 and Part 2. Pastor Kavar CA had a remix, you know. Yeah, man. Like, remixes were a heavy part. Like, you have a big record. It was a way to extend the life of a big hit single and a big record. Oh, you know what? Let's do the remix of Stone, Keith Murray, and so-and-so, Ghostface, and whoever else. So Special Delivery, you know. And you don't see a lot of that nowadays. You definitely don't see that. But that's because a lot of these records ain't big enough. They're not big enough songs and big enough hit records and dope enough records to really be remix records. They really ain't. So it'll last a little bit and we're going to wrap it up.
As much as you saw it at one point in time, but you make a great point in that when people choose to become a fan, a real diehard, not a casual fan.
Yeah.
Like, casual fans are valuable, but they take time to convert into super fans or community members, engaged people of your community. That takes time. That takes, for some people, some of y'all have been watching my videos for years and just this year decided to subscribe. Just this year decided to leave a chat. Now imagine I was waiting on just you. How frustrating.
I hate to cut it off again, but that's a lot with a lot of content creators. If you listen to a lot of big content creators, they could have 1 million subscribers and like only, you know, 60% of y'all are subscribed, or only 40% of y'all are subscribed, which means almost half the people watching are never subscribed. That's the thing. You never know who's really watching because they're not always engaging.
It would be. I probably wouldn't want to post up content. But the truth of the matter is, it is my responsibility as a creative to show up, do the things, all the extensions of my creativity, whether that's podcasting, whether that's reacting, whether that's creating Instagram content, short form content, whether that's, hell, being on someone else's platform as a guest, whether that's rapping, whether that's producing, whether that's live streaming. There are so many mediums that you can come meet me at and say, I'm not a fan of his rapping, but man, I love when he does a reaction videos. Right. I'm not a fan of the reaction. I don't really care about that news, but I'm a fan of his of his music. And for me, it doesn't necessarily matter how you get here. The thing that matters is that you're here.
That's all any business cares about.
With that said, ladies and gentlemen, those were our...
And I like that. I like that because, like, you know, everybody's not going to be a fan of everything. So somebody might be like, yeah, I don't really like Paul doing his little 15-second TikToks, but I like his podcast because he's going over some juicy topics, some controversial topics, some batshit crazy topics. Or they might be like, I don't really like the Paul Pigott podcast, but I love that Live from Vietnam podcast. I love what you're doing over there. It's all hip-hop based. It's got the Vietnam name, da-da-da-da, you know. Or they might be like, I don't like none of that shit Paul's doing except the I like that Dizzle, though. I like that Dizzle, and that's fine. That's fine, because guess what? All roads still lead to Paul. Because all roads still lead to Paul. It's like when I be promoting... It's funny, like, when I be promoting people and, you know, they'll pay you for promotion and they might not get the results that they wanted or expected. Because, once again, you don't determine what the hit record is. The fans do. You know, you still got to put it out there and people got to react. And they might be like, well, I'm not paying you for promo because I didn't get the results that, you know, I wanted. And they only might have paid you, like, $200 and expected to get $2,000 worth of results or $20,000 worth of results. It don't work that way. So then they'll go and be like, well, I'm going to go pay somebody else. Well, guess what? That somebody else, he comes to me. He outsources to me. So all roads are still going to lead back to me. There's records I'm working records right now where I got somebody paying me for the Spotify on the artist. Somebody else has paid me to do the TikTok. A whole different person is paying me to do the YouTube. And somebody else might be paying me to do Instagram influencers. I might have 3 or 4 people paying me to do one artist. You know, and I don't go around either one of them and try to cut them out and take their client. You know, I let all of them eat off of this artist, you know, because the artist, it's the artist's fault for not knowing a one-stop shop. They only knew 4 different people doing 4 different things. You know, the artist only knew somebody doing Spotify, so they paid them for Spotify, and guess what? That person paid me to do Spotify. Then they went to somebody to pay work YouTube because somebody said, hey, I can do your YouTube. Guess what? That person paid me to do the YouTube. Then they go to somebody like, yo, I wanted TikTok influencers and Instagram influencers. Guess what? That person paid me to do the TikTok influencers and Instagram influencers. We could take $100 sometimes, all the time, and we've got up to 10 million views of results out of $100 on TikTok. Because TikTok influencers, I mean, you never know. They could post one video and it could just take off like that. And then they could post one video and it just might just do the average numbers that they typically get, you know. But TikTok is a whole nother beast. Oh, another beast. But so I don't know what it ain't that. I don't think what Offset is really saying is that making singles is pointless. I think what he's saying is you thinking you can decide what the single is or what the hit record is pointless. Because unless you're breaking your song on radio in the club, the internet is dictating that. And that's a whole different animal and a whole different beast. The way records are dictated on hit records on the internet are usually through TikTok and YouTube. TikTok and YouTube really dictates what hit records are on the internet. Those are the top two platforms. They blow up on Spotify after they blow up on TikTok and YouTube. TikTok is breaking way more artists than YouTube. I mean, not YouTube, but Spotify, because you could go, as an artist, you could go pay influencers directly and they can break your music. Spotify isn't trying to break no artists. They're rolling out the discovery mode, but there's artists making 50,000 listeners a month on discovery mode, but that's not going to break you. That's not breaking you. 50,000 listeners on Spotify is not break you. You gotta, if you're not leveraging YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, maybe Twitch and all these other platforms, Snapchat or whatever it may be. What are we talking about here? And there's so many of them. You can't just do, that's another thing. You can't just focus on one of those either. You might want to focus on two or three, because you might blow up on TikTok, but not on YouTube. You might blow up on YouTube and not TikTok. But you're definitely not going to blow up if you're just focusing on Spotify and Spotify alone. And if you think you just, like none of these NBA YoungBoy records be hit records. And he pumping out a massive singles. None of them are hit records. He just pumps out so many. They get so, you know, he gets so many streams combined because he pumps out so many. He totally gets it, man. Like, they're none of them are hit records. And the fans decide which ones they like more than the rest. The ones that get played more than the rest are the ones that the fans decide, hey, we like this one just a tad bit more than the last, or a tad bit more than, you know, the previous ones before it. But yeah, I don't think Offset is necessarily saying don't drop singles. He's saying don't go in the mindset of thinking you've made a hit single, or thinking you could decide what the hit single is going to be when the internet is deciding that. The internet is dictating that, and that's usually typically through TikTok and YouTube for the most part. Once again, I want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast. And once again, I'm out.